You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hiya. Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. And as always, I invite you to watch the show today because I have an amazing guest. I am so lucky because I really am blessed to be able to interview people like my special guest, who we'll bring on in just a bit, Julie Wignall. She's going to help you kind of turn up your own light. We'll tell you about that metaphor and why it's so important. Also, she's going to talk about how to help you tackle the negative thinking that you have. Of course, we all have those little icky thoughts, intrusive thoughts that are always running through our heads every day. Also, self-doubts. Why do we doubt ourselves? Well, it's kind of incorporated when we're young. And we'll talk about that as well. Also, she'll kind of help you with second guessing yourself, unproductive habits that inhibit your own work and inhibit your own light from shining and creating a pathway for other people too. So you can be an inspiration, not only to yourself, which is really important, but also to others. In other words, the book we're going to be talking about today will help you smooth out the bumps along the way, and let us bring her on right now. Julie Wignall, hi, and welcome to my couch.
Hi, thank you. It's great to be here.
It's so great to have you. I love your energy, and I love the work you've done, and it's really nice. Appreciate it. So
I thought about showing up this morning, maybe just lying on a couch, but I thought that
would be cool.
Sounded good, but then I thought it probably wouldn't play out very well.
You're pretty cool. You know what? I've had one other guest who'd done that, kind of laid on, but mic was off a little bit, but no, we should do that. And my couch is right there across.
I love the metaphor. I really do.
Oh, well,
obviously I work in metaphor.
You sure do. And that gives credit to the owner of the company. Sam. I mean, he's amazing. And he said when 17 years ago, he said, what shall we call your show? On the couch. Done. So he was great. Well, let's talk about you. And as I mentioned, you have so much to say and such a wonderful book. By the way, let me tell you what the title is, people, so you can get it, because it's very inspirational. This is not just another self-help book. It has wonderful information about people who have achieved certain things in their lives by following some of the steps and thinking the way that Julie suggests people think. Action taking, etc. The book's called The Extraordinary Power of Fireflies: How to Shine Your Light Brighter and Transform the World. It's an inspiring and powerful guide for anybody who knows they have a compelling purpose in life. We all have purpose. We all do. We're all important souls. And if you can't get off your launch pad and you need some help and you want to play a little bit bigger, or you're hindered by self-doubt, don't go anywhere, because Julie's going to tell you how to tackle it. Right, Julie? We're going to deal with that today. Well, let me do a little bio here so folks can know more about you. I'm sure they've heard about you and they've seen your book. It's all over the place. Julie received international acclaim for her work creating environmentally friendly, I love this, aquarium and zoological habitats for Mirage Resorts. She's an artist. You're an artist, Julie. You really are. And your unconventional career has also included work in conservation, national politics, international business, as a corporate executive for a Fortune 500 company, also a television producer. And of course, with all of your experience and expertise, you provide services and workshops and corporations, nonprofit organizations, and government agencies. She's also written a wonderful inspirational book, and we're going to be talking about that today. So let's just jump into this. Why did you choose the metaphor of the butterfly? And why did you title this book that way?
These are fireflies. And anybody who's ever seen a firefly, or even if you've only seen one online, they're magical. And although I think of my book as a call to action,
yeah,
fireflies remind us of the magic in the world. And and remind us of childhood and the magic that we've always felt and the power that we knew that we had that we seem to have forgotten. So this is encouraging people to do a bit of a reawakening of knowing what we are, because we do know inside. We do know that we're important. We do know that we're worthy, but we have so much of this enculturation that says,
yes,
don't listen to your inner self. And those whispers are still there. So when I think of fireflies, I think of the light that they shine, and we each have a light to shine.
Yes, we do.
Firefly, they don't ask for approval. They're not saying, oh, is it this time? Is it okay for me to shine my light now? They shine because they can. They don't wait and ask for permission. And the other thing with fireflies that I adore is that we see these pictures of them in yellows and greens, but fireflies also glow in blues and oranges and reds. There are over 2,000 different species. So this is a family that embraces a whole lot of diversity. Right. So as metaphors, it's like, we've got a lot to learn.
You've got that right. You know, go ahead, Julie.
And when people say to me, you know, gee, I'm not sure, it's just me, I'm not sure I can make a difference. And I always say, think of that one firefly that sparkles in the night sky, and you go, look at the difference that that has made on you.
Right.
That's the difference that each of us have made. And now I'll tell you, there are two places in the world. We're lucky to have one of them here in the United States in the Smoky Mountains. The other one is in Malaysia, where fireflies glow in the thousands. They don't come out until later at night. They're called the synchronous fireflies. But imagine a forest that is so dark you can't see your fingertips.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, little by little, you start seeing, they have what they call the blue ghost fireflies. Ooh, and the forest floor looks like a landing strip. And all of a sudden, throughout the trees, you'll have hundreds of thousands of fireflies blinking together, and another one answering, and another group answering, and another group answering. These are like different communities. And it's like, not only can we make a difference if we each shine our light brighter, but when we shine and more people shine and together, we can light up the darkness.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. That what I loved about your book is that, you know, every chapter that is really helpful about different aspects of finding who we are, finding our purpose, sort of getting rid of negative thoughts, etc., kind of highlights a couple or more of extraordinary, as you call them, fireflies, the real people who are lighting the way for change and who have changed their lives and our lives by doing certain steps that you suggest. Also inspirational gifts that they are to the world.
Yeah.
So,
let me give you a quick behind the scenes, and I'm sorry, we've got a cat.
No.
My cats adore being on so anything.
Very casual. My couch is very casual here.
All fireflies, there are certain principles that we follow in terms of following your heart, understanding, and listening, having a code of values. The big thing that fireflies do is take action, but it's not just one kind of action. And the concept is that I wanted to do a book to say, this is not my way or the highway. It's when you see those diet books to say, if you want to lose those 20 pounds, you have to follow what I say and anything else isn't going to work. Or if you want to earn that $1 million, this is the only way to do it.
Right.
And my philosophy is that there's more than one way to make your way to the top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And as a long, long, long time student of Carl Jung and psychology, Carl Jung once said, if the path before you is clear, you're probably on someone else's, right? So we each need to be making our own way.
Right.
And a lot of times that's unconventional. And I use that term, unconventional, because I don't think of it as really rebelling or revolting or even resisting.
Yeah.
To say, this is a path that I need to take, and I'm putting blinders on to everything else to make my own way to the top. And all of these people have done this differently. But I'm going to pull back the curtain for a minute to tell you that when I wrote this book, I wanted to include people who were following the same principles, but doing it in different ways.
Right.
To say to anybody reading, you're going to find your own way.
Right.
I started with a group of 25 people. And wanting to be authentic, I was reaching out to everybody saying, I'm going to be including you in your book. If you're okay with that, this is what I've written. I want to make sure it's accurate. I don't want to do cut and paste. Sure. And the first 25 people that I had were people you would probably look at the list and go, I've heard of that person.
Right.
I've heard of this. Well, I have to tell you, when I started researching them, they were all flakes.
Uh-oh. And
A lot of the information wasn't true. And isn't that part of what we're dealing with today? You find the people, the social influencers, and you go, their lives are perfect. And this was the same thing. Oh, these were people to look up to. And as I would get closer to reaching the person, I'd hear, why do you want to put this person in your book? They didn't do anything that they said that they did.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
And you talk about the low of low. I'm going, isn't there anybody in the world that's, you know, that I can choose that's going to inspire me? And I have a wonderful publisher who said, Julie, just take some time off and go back and start again on a deeper level, which is exactly what I did. Wow. And to this day, I can't even tell you how it was kind of serendipity, how I found the people that I did. But I can tell you that from the process of finding them, writing the book, publishing, and to today, they're all fireflies. They continue to inspire me every single day.
And you have some extraordinary people that we're going to be talking about a little bit too. By the way, in case you just joined us, folks, I'm talking with Julie Wignall. She's the author of her latest book, which is all over the place. You got to check it out. We'll tell you how you can get it in just a bit. It's called The Extraordinary Power of Fireflies. Wonderful metaphor. How to Shine Your Light Brighter and Transform the World. So funny, you were talking about where and all that, different places. I recall years ago, I was traveling to Louisiana. I was in Baton Rouge. And I loved that vibe. I mean, it was just beautiful with the willow trees and the lakes and the ponds and everything. There were a lot of fireflies there.
Yeah.
It was just inspiring to see those. And oh my gosh. Anyway, so let's.
They make us, they excite us. And that's what life is supposed to be about.
Right.
To me, they take us back to that childhood sense of wonderment and knowing. That there was that inner knowing that we were here to make the world better.
So true, honey. It's that inner knowing. And I think that's huge, is going within and trusting our own, but being able to listen to our own inner voice, as I've said before. You also, now let's talk about the courage to take action and the firefly in focus. You talk about Fabio Chavez. He's the founder of Katura Orchestra of Recycled Instruments. Can you talk a little bit about him? Also, that amazing yoga instructor. I think it's Rita.
Rita Brown.
Yeah. And how they can inspire you.
Everybody's done this in a different way. And it doesn't, you know, to me, that means that you don't have to be a doctor or a lawyer or a scientist. You can be anything, an artist. So Fabio's background. This is a man who lives still in Paraguay. He always loved music, didn't have this PhD in music, but always loved it. Fabio was working as a sanitation engineer at the biggest landfill in an area called Quechura, which is outside of Asunción in the capital of Paraguay. And this landfill is just huge. And the poorest of poor, and I don't think that we necessarily even have to that level of poor here in the United States, but we are talking about the poorest of poor, where people live on the landfill. They make their living by picking things from the landfill and trying to sell things. But they're incredibly innovative. Their homes, these are not people who can afford homes or apartments. So their homes, they've actually made from pieces of the landfill. You know, just because you are poor and don't have money doesn't mean you're stupid. They were incredibly innovative.
They're creative and they're taking action.
Right. And as Fabio's meeting these people and really creating a community with them, he's looking at these kids and he's thinking, ah, oh, I would love to be teaching these kids music.
Yeah. Now, oh, that's cool.
That became the, let me put my blinders on to everything else, because he didn't have time to stop and say, I didn't go to a world-class musical school. I don't have that. This, all he saw was a need, and he had a huge desire and purpose to fill it. And of course, thinking like most people would think, his first idea was, I would love to create an orchestra here. I wonder if I can get funders and the money to help buy instruments for these kids. But then he thought about it, and if somebody had shown up with $1 million and said, here, Fabio, go and buy the instruments, those instruments would have been stolen probably within the first 24 hours, yes. Right? So instead, he did a paradigm shift. He shifted his thinking and said, what's a different creative and innovative way I can move forward? These people are innovative. They know how to make homes from items from the landfill. Let me go to them and say, help me make instruments from the pieces in the landfill. And I mean, they took old license plates and they made violins. There's a giant timpani drum, and a huge drum. The size of the drummer is actually medical waste. They're thrown out giant x-rays.
Wow.
And he taught the kids, and he created what they call the Recycled Orchestra of Kachura, or the Kachura Orchestra.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And they, but they've managed from there. The kids actually got to play for everything from symphony to jazz to things that they liked. And they all loved the group Metallica.
So he
encouraged them. And he said, write to them. Sure. Well, the next thing you know, Metallica's showing up in Keturah. And
invited
them to go enjoy, come and be the warm-up act for us on one of our stages of travel.
Oh, that's amazing.
And now, mind you, these kids were so poor. It took months to even find paperwork for birth certificates and things so that they could get their travel papers.
Exactly. But
today, they travel the world. They're known as the Recycled Orchestra of Kachura. And Fabio has them wear T-shirts, which I absolutely adore.
Oh, that's on the back, that's great.
Every T-shirt, it says, the world sends us trash and we send back music.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. And that's the courage to take action in your life. I am getting some emails here from straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. So I'm going to shoot some questions to you. I only get them here online. And when they pop up, I want to share them with you so we can get really help folks out. It says, let's see, how can I find out about making changes in my life that are meaningful? Okay. I mean, there you go. That's exactly what we're talking about with Mr. Chavez. But what are some of the exercises that you might suggest?
Well, I have 2 points. Well, first of all, in terms of the book, because I don't like books where I read this and I'm inspired, but I go, how do I put it in my life?
Right. So
at the end of every chapter, there's actually an exercise to help you take whatever you've read from the page to incorporate into your life, but without even buying the book. On my website, I have a download of Flying Lessons for Fireflies, which are 5 exercises to get you started right now, today, without anything. And I'll tell you, my very first exercise is to think about what makes you happy. And I know that sounds so simple and so crazy. I had an experience a number of years ago where I was working with 15 and 16 year old boys that were the troublemakers. Their families, they were in so much trouble. The family sent them from all over the United States to this boarding school. And I had the chance to work with them, conservation programs and biology. But after the first day, I noticed they had so much anger that they were carrying around and frustration. And I kind of got that because these were the troublemakers, but they were so incredibly smart. And it's like, these kids just need a shift, because we need that kind of energy. That's my unconventional energy that we need, that these are future thought leaders. And I turned to the boys after the second day and I said, if I were your fairy godmother and I'm knocking on your door. And I said, I'm here. Your wish is my command. I'm here to give you anything and everything you want. What would make you happy? What would you wish for? And just that question, what would make you happy? I was faced with a room full of blank stares.
And, oh, my.
And I was expecting 15, 16-year-old boys to hear, oh, I need to be a famous rap star. I need to have millions of people to follow me. I have to have billions of dollars. And they stared at me, and one of the boys said, you know what? No one's ever asked me that before.
Wow.
And that really hit me. And over the next couple of days, I started getting feedback from them. But they were little things. What makes me happy? One of the boys came up and said, you know what? When I'm at home, my dad and I make pancakes for the family every Sunday morning.
Oh, I love that.
That really makes me happy. Someone else said, when I'm out walking my dog. Someone else said, when I'm laying on the grass and just watching the clouds go by.
Yes.
That makes me happy. And I actually do this with adults now, and I'm always amazed where I can be in a room and you ask a group of people, and 8 out of 10 people, there'll always be the two that have that awareness and go, oh, this makes me happy. And this, but the other people go, I don't know. And I don't know anymore.
Right. Exactly.
And I think part of what has happened is when we're little, we know what makes us happy.
Sure.
And really what tends to make us happy is living in the moment, those moments right. where we connect with other people, those moments where we feel that our life has meaning.
Yes. Yes.
But think about what starts happening, you know, in terms of our society and our culture. We hit 5 or 6 years old and we go, you know, I really don't want to go to Uncle Billy's today, you know, because it's not fun. There's nothing for me to do there.
Right.
And what do you hear? Oh, but you love Uncle Billy. And this is one of your favorite things to do. We start being fed that information.
Right.
I watched that in a daycare situation with a little boy who loved the color pink.
Right.
And his mother and his aunts would come up and they'd go, no, you don't like pink. You like blue. Blue is your favorite color.
Right.
When you sit down and you start thinking about all these different ways that we're enculturated, but I think I like ice cream for dinner, or no, you don't. That's not right. We're judged. And by the time we become teenagers, what makes you happy? It's like,
yeah,
just making everybody else happy. When well, we get
that's it.
What makes exactly right. us happy.
Exactly. And it's sort of going back into that childlike mind again. I mean, it's hard once we hit what? 7.5 or so years old, our brain changes from that alpha theta state into the frontal lobe beta. Then we start analyzing and buying into all those things you were talking about, fears, and this is who you are. This is who you should be. But you're right. If we could stay into that happy place, what makes us happy?
Right. Which is getting back into that flow of remembering, because our soul, our spirit still whispers that every day. We don't listen. We tamp it down. We say, no, I can't. Because what happens when we're in elementary school, we're told by everybody, oh, you can grow up to do anything that you want to do. The world is your oyster. And then all of a sudden something happens. We become teenagers. And they go, no, you need to rethink that, because nobody makes money doing this. You need to be thinking of healthcare and how you're going to do this and that. Instead of being productive and saying, okay, that's your heart's desire, let's figure out how to make it
right
so that you can make money at it, how to make it so that it's a business.
Right, right, exactly. No, it's beautiful, because we have to get it. I think you are right on, Julie. I think one of my issues, and many people I talk to, is delineating between, we have to know intuitively what makes us happy. Or let's go back a little bit. So it's the between intuition and emotion based on early belief systems that were imposed upon us.
Yeah.
So it's hard sometimes to go, is that my fear speaking? I should do this. Or is this my intuition saying, go for it.
It's
or
really hard.
Not go for it.
It's like an unlearning process. But I always talk, to me, the pillars for every person of what really makes us all happy is we all have the same needs. We need to be seen. We need to be heard. We want to feel that what we're doing has meaning. And we want to feel like we're part of something that's bigger.
Sure.
We all share that. That's just an innate human thing. But when it comes to, you know, we want to give our life meaning, I think people are also afraid to say, well, I think I want to do this, but I'm not sure. I might want to do something else. And I'm afraid to commit to something. Right. And that's where I'm the poster child.
That's right.
That you know, a lot of people when they're 5 years old go, I want to grow up and be a doctor or a dentist. Right. And that's what they do. Their whole life is set. And then there are people like me going, I don't know. I think I might like politics, or maybe I like business, or I like marine biology, and I'm and you're allowed to change.
Right.
You don't have to say this is what I want to do and I'm going to commit to this for my entire life.
Okay.
You can change. We're here to grow.
Not to be perfect, just
to grow.
Right. Beautifully said, Julie. By the way, in case you just joined us, guys, I'm talking to Julie Wignall. She is a highly sought after speaker. Leader, thought leader, as you might say, helping people do what they might think the impossible. Her book is called The Extraordinary Power of Fireflies, How to Shine Your Light Brighter and Transform the World. And that only involves, of course, going within yourself and finding your own empowerment, your own joy, how to move on, as well as then sharing that joy with the world. Julie Wignall, by the way, her book has been shared as an inspiring and powerful guide for anyone who knows they have a compelling purpose in life. And you can't get off the launch pad, maybe. Come on, let's play bigger. Or if you're hindered by self-doubt, I think everybody is, right, Julie? Aren't we all?
All of us. We all have fear. We all have self-doubt. Yeah. And that comes from that inner, I am not good enough.
Yep.
I'm not deserving. Yep. I'm not worthy. And I laugh because I'll have clients that go, but I never got a degree.
Yep. So.
And I show them other clients who say, yes, I got a degree, but it was in the wrong thing.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing wrong.
We need to be educated. We don't need degrees. And the world is catching up to that. And beginning to look at, you know, what are your experiences? What are you learning? Every one of us brings a wealth of experience, and we each have a way to move forward in the world differently. As I explained, Favio created a musical orchestra.
Yeah.
We're traveling around the world. But sometimes what gives our life meaning is just that healing, healing ourselves. And that's what, when you were mentioning Rita, who I wrote about, when Rita grew up in Uganda, mm-hmm. and when she was less than 7 years old, she experienced with her twin sister watching their parents murdered in front of them taken to a rebel camp. And, you know, that's just,
oh my God.
And you wonder, how does somebody get past that? How do you work with that? And here was her future. Her future was going to be, you know, basic human trafficking, being a slave. Right. There happened to be a woman in this camp of the rebels that knew what her future was going to look like. And this is someone who took responsibility and said, I need to do something to help. And she paired Rita and her sister up with an older woman who was there, and they escaped and they walked.
Wow.
They walked from Uganda to Kenya to find their way to a refugee camp there.
Oh my gosh.
And okay, so now you've gone through just the worst scenario you can think of.
Right.
How do you heal from something like that?
Exactly.
And again, there's more than one way to do this. But
yes.
For Rita, now she calls herself Rita Yogi. She discovered yoga. And
beautiful.
She discovered yoga not only in terms of just her body, but connecting her body to her mind and that spiritual aspect of it. And she found a balance. She found a sense of peace within yoga. And, you know, anyone who's ever taken a yoga class or studied it at all, the most important pose in yoga is what they call Tadasana. It's a mountain pose. And it's just standing in one position with your feet hip width apart, your side. And it's just checking in with yourself from your head to your toes. How am I feeling today? And that's how we start getting back in tune with those messages that our body is sending us, that intuition that we're all looking to develop, that helps to set us up for that. And it helped Rita so much that she actually began teaching yoga to other refugees Today she does it again. But again, you don't have to stick to just one thing. So Rita today, she teaches yoga, but she's also working as a social entrepreneur.
Yes, beautiful.
You know, with social consciousness too, just to people rise. So everybody finds it in a different way, but it all starts.
It does.
Said, from within. We all have to start.
Right.
And we have to start with ourselves. We have to do those check-ins with our bodies to say, because your body's sending you messages, you know, the butterflies in your stomach. Some people, when it's stressful or they know someone's not being honest with them, they'll get a kink in their neck.
Yes.
We need to know this body, and we don't pay attention to that. I was working with a colleague one day, and I said in the afternoon, "You are being so snarky this afternoon. What's going on?" And he stopped and he went, "You know what? I have a headache." And I'm thinking, how could you have a headache and not know? And because we think that if we want to change the world and to do things, we just have to focus on all these things and we have to work harder and we have to do this. And we forget that if we want to change the world, we have to start with self-care and we have to start with changing ourselves. And that is unlearning some of the things that society and culture have told us. You'll never be able to do this. And saying, you know what? And the one thing that I have found that every firefly, every executive, anybody in the world that has really found their way to achieve the things that they've wanted to, at any level, they've had to put those blinders on and not listen to the naysayers.
That is so true.
Yes. And it has to be something that you want so badly that that is so important that you go, I don't have time to listen to the arguments. I don't have time to. Yes. And the concept of a firefly, I define them as people who see beyond what is.
That's right.
Forget what's happening in your reality. I want you to be thinking about what is the world you want to live in?
Yes.
And what does that look like?
Exactly.
And what needs to be done and take action?
Right.
You know, we live in a time right now where everybody is feeling anxious and stressed. It's a scary world. Things are falling apart. We have political strife. We've got climate change. We've got this and that. And I say, quiet that. Because as things fall apart, many things are, that provides that opportunity to build something new and better. And what do you want that world to be? Today is the time to stop screaming about what's happening and to start building communities and to say, this is what we want the world to look like. So that as things fall apart, it's that concept that I call rising in those spaces between, where everybody is so busy fighting. And you're just rising in the space between to say, you guys can all keep fighting. We're just going to get this done.
No, exactly. And it also that in the spaces between it is in keeping with the yoga specialist now and the lady who gives love. It's about getting rid of the noise, focus, that one stance in yoga. You're focusing on the body and the now and the now and the now. You're not having all of these ruminations about, oh my God, first thing in the morning, you get up and you read all the political craziness and all the everything, that China, Soviet Union, everything that's going on environmentally, we're trashing our world. I say, go within, and I know you do too in your book, focus on the space between and really get into that. What do I want? Go within. What brings me joy? Wash out all the knowledge that you're reading on social media. All that, it's not knowledge, it's all personal PR stuff.
Exactly. I'll tell you, one of the things I tell people with a background in environmental biology and an overlay of over 40 years in Jungian psychology and esoteric psychology. Yeah. You know, when I talk about the spaces in between, a lot of people talk about them too, in terms of thoughts are forces, your thoughts change the world. And that may sound woo-woo to some, but quantum physics can explain it all, to say the world is full of many different dimensions than there is. But in those spaces between, that's energy. And that's the place where prayers get answered when you can tune into this. Right. That's where physicists and metaphysicists all agree spiritually that this is what we call the field.
Yes, exactly.
In the field, there's unlimited energy there. So when we talk about unlimited energy, and you know, everybody's screaming fossil fuels and this and that, we talk about unlimited energy. If we knew how to tap into that, and that comes from within,
yes,
we have all the energy that we need. We have all the resources that we need. There is nothing in this world that cannot be changed, cannot be created to make things better. But to do this, we need every single person who has that level of awareness to stop standing on the sidelines with wishes and dreams and hopes.
Yes.
And we need to start illuminating pathways, because when we follow our heart and we do the things that we know need to be done, we're giving permission for the others who are still standing on the sidelines to say, come along. I call it the firefly path. Come along the path. We're all doing something different, but what each one of us is doing is so important. And we each need to shine brighter.
Beautiful. That's beautifully said. You know, Dr. Wayne Dyer used to call it, you know, getting in the gap.
Yes.
Spaces between and going in touch with yourself and really getting in contact with that quantum universal consciousness, whatever you want to call it. But it, you know, it's all about that. Excuse me, a little cold here. It's all about going within, quieting the mind, listening to and feeling your best about who you are, and empowering and your own self. You are right on. I believe we are all, you know, gifted with being able to elevate our health.
Well, I'm going to tell you a story too. It's studying science. I had a mentor, and this is some food for thought. I had a mentor, a scientist, biologist, geologist, who I studied in Australia. There are 45,000 islands between Australia and Singapore.
Cool.
And there are a couple of islands where people were known to have amazing psychic abilities, telepathic abilities. And he said, I need to go there. I'm going to go spend a year and I'm going to live with these people. And I want to know, is this true? Is it, are we making it up? Ooh. And what he came back with, I found absolutely fascinating. First of all, he said, absolutely, it's true. And each person has these abilities and they use them in different ways. You know, one person might be a healer.
Yes.
There's someone else in the community who's taught to go into the ocean and listen.
Yes.
And they'll come back and they'll come and they'll tell us weather reports and if a boat's coming in, how far away they are.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been down in the ocean, I'm not hearing anything once my head is
under. No. I've been 60 feet under in a scuba gear and just kind of looking out for.
Right. And but he said, not only are these people, they are what we would call psychic, telepathic, whatever. They don't see it. They don't think of themselves as having anything.
No, it's normal for them.
Exactly.
Right.
Everything is, it's not extraordinary. It's just, this is our everyday.
Right.
And he said, the only two things too that I noticed that's a very big difference is, first of all, there's a huge connection to nature.
Yes.
Which I agree. You want the answer to anything in the world or life, go look at nature.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, the second thing is they all lived in a culture that accepted it.
That's it. That's just like
the other. No one said, Oh, what do you think? You can heal a person. You can do this. No, it was completely acceptable. And then you come back to our Western culture and you go, if I open, you know, my own perception to knowing this and that, are people going to think I'm nuts? Are people going to think I'm crazy? That's part of that enculturation that we have. And that's part of, you know, when we say, what is the world that you want to live in? I would love to be living in a world where we're open to discuss all of this so that we can start diving deeper. Instead of sitting around and gossiping, we can be talking about all the secrets of the universe and ponder questions together and start doing something that feels more meaningful. And that's why I tell people that the second thing that I think is really important, once you know what gives your life meaning, it's important to define what success looks like, because success looks like really different for all of us. And how are we going to know when we get there? Yeah. But we also need to know, what is our code of values?
Yes.
And this has become really important to me just in the last couple of years, because we see people with a lot of very different codes of values.
Sure.
And, you know, I want to say I want to be authentic and honest and with ethics and integrity and have transparency. Well, if that's how I feel, then I need to walk that walk, which, you know, there's so much in terms of pulling the curtains back. We see our influencers online and we think, oh, they live this most amazing life. And mind you, I'm still growing and I'm still learning.
Right.
And I laughed because there was a week or so ago, I had a Zoom call with a group of people and I fixated on a woman that was on the call that was sitting there. She was all well-dressed, but I'm looking behind her and going, she has this magnificent living room behind her that there's nothing on the floor and it's clean. And I'm looking at her going, all my projects, and I can't get past how perfect this living space is. And I'm going, how does somebody do this?
Because exactly. Perfect.
This is everywhere. And I'm sitting here and I'm feeling envy and I am aware of this. And then all of a sudden she moves her head and gives that telltale move where half of your hair disappears because you've got that fake background.
Right.
I realized, oh,
I love that.
She's probably sitting in the same messy room filled with all kinds of things that I am.
All right.
But if I want to talk about the importance of authenticity, how is that going to come across if I'm going to sit here and talk to you and I've got this beautiful background and everything's there? And because it's not a matter of getting it together. We spend our lives trying to get together.
Exactly.
And we need to be seeking growth, not perfection. If we were perfect and we had it all figured out, then there's really no reason to be here.
Exactly.
But, you know, one of the things that I talk about, too, is we pay a lot of lip service to, oh, it's the journey and not the destination.
Right.
And then I tell people, from the time you graduate high school to when you get your car, we always put things off. Yeah. I will be happy after I get this degree. I will be happy after I buy my house. I'll be happy after I get a pet, after I do this and after I do. And we keep putting it down the road.
Exactly.
And no, the time to be happy is right now along the way. And what I try to remind everybody, when we do a great accomplishment, what do we all do? This is human. We sit there, we pat ourselves on the back for what, a total of 3 seconds. Look at me and I did it. And then we start talking about what it took to get there. But when we do that, but we don't talk about, oh, this was perfect. This was
feels so good. Yes.
We talk about all the things that went wrong.
We're looking at the past and then we're looking at the future, what ifs, instead of being right now.
Right.
And
then we sit there and we talk about every mistake that we made. Oh my gosh. And this fell apart and this was a fiasco and this didn't work. And all those things happened. I can't believe it. I'm still sitting here at the top of this mountain. And then what do? We look around and we go, oh, there's another mountain. I think I want to do this again. I want to climb the next mountain. Is something we haven't done before. So it immediately brings back what? Imposter syndrome. Can I make it to the mountain? I'm so excited right now what I can do, but do I deserve it? Am I worthy? We go through the whole thing all over again.
Exactly. That also brings me to what you really emphasize in your book, the power of words. And that all has to do with a lot of what you were talking about earlier too, about the quantum field and, you know, it's sound frequencies and words have meaning, which goes into the heart and is expressed out there. It's all energy. So can you talk a little bit more about the power of words and how our words influence our lives?
Huge. And it's not just words. It's the self-talk. It's the, I'm bringing out a birthday cake for someone and I just dropped it on the ground and I go, "Oh, you're such an idiot. Why would we say that to ourselves?"
Right.
You know, it's that we bash ourselves. Why did I do that? Oh, I made this. I'm such a terrible person. And to counter that, I tell people to sit down and write down all the things that you do for your friend. Is it okay that they make mistakes? Do you support them? Are you in work at inspiring them and being there for them? If that's what you do for your friends, your number one friend should be you. Are you being kind to yourself? Are you saying it's okay when these things aren't going? And then to take it to the next step when we're talking to other people, and I shared an experience that I did when I had the chance to meet a well-known composer. We were trying to connect, and we were sitting in an executive office, and he said, "Oh my gosh." And he made a statement about something that had happened environmentally that was like, "Oh, this was terrible."
Right.
And so what did I do? "Oh my gosh, not only was that terrible, and if you connect with it." And the next thing I know, we're going down this rabbit hole and talking about every doom and gloom in the world. And when this was Steve Wynn's wife, Elaine Wynn, who unfortunately we just lost, and Elaine came out, and she was a great philanthropist, and she listened to us for 5 minutes, and she said, "If I let you guys talk any longer, you are going to destroy the rest of my day, because this is so horrible."
Oh my gosh, yes.
And it really made me sit back and think about, like, any party, any office situation, somebody comes in, they go, "Oh, I heard you just, you know, got back from this vacation. Oh, it was the most horrible vacation ever." And what happens? Everybody jumps in and shares their horror stories of vacations. But if someone comes in and they say, "I just got back from the most breathtaking experience of, you know, going to see the spring bloom, you know, in Lancaster and California, and all the poppies were up, and this
is beautiful. They're beautiful.
They're gorgeous." And but what does that do to everybody else? All of a sudden, everybody else goes, "Oh, if you think those are beautiful,
it flows. It starts flowing. Everybody's in that groove of trying to identify with and or whatever, if it's negative or positive."
And it's not that we are negative or positive. It's that we're just trying to connect as human
beings. That's exactly what it is. And in your book also, you talk about connection. We're going to have to wrap things up really soon. It's gone so fast. I don't believe it, Julie. You're such a great speaker. I'm going to have you back on again. We have to cover. But by the way, if you would like to get, you can get this for free, right?
Yeah.
It's the extraordinary www.extraordinaryfireflies.com. And download that, folks, because it's free and it will help you create so much in your life. Go within. It'll really help you out with your own self-esteem. I mean, I'm on the right track here. The book, by the way, The Extraordinary Power of Fireflies, How to Shine Your Light Brighter and Transform the World, Julie Wignall. It's an inspiring and powerful guide. We only touched on the surface, but if you have a compelling purpose, you will find it by reading this book. You'll go within and learn how to create your purpose. Get off your own launch pad, as she says, and you know, don't hinder yourself. Get rid of all these old self-doubt vibes that you have from, you know, what you were told who you are growing up and whatever the situations you've been through. Julie, you've been a wonderful guest. I love your energy and what you have to say.
Thank you so much. This has been great fun.
Oh, you are fun. You're a fun girl. I like to hang out with you. I'll tell you that. But anyway, that's the best way to get hold of your book as well, Julie.
You can get a hold of it absolutely anywhere. And just as an extra, once you download Flying Lessons for Fireflies, you're on a mailing list because we got to keep that energy going. So once a week, I send out just a very short note of inspiration or encouragement just to keep everybody on that firefly path.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. Thanks again for being here. You're the best. You're great.
Thank you.
All right. Have a beautiful week. Dr. Michelle Cohen here, and thanks for being on my couch today with another inspiring guest, Julie Wignall. Have a great day. Take care of yourself first, and you'll be great for others. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.